My wife and I just finished reading about a special lion that reminds us of what it will be like in the heavenly paradise. And I'm really looking forward to that time. In the late 1950s, the Westbow family adopted a lion cub named Little Tyke after it had been attacked by its mother, and literally she took her paw and slammed it up against the wall. It was at the city zoo. The family nursed Little Tyke back to health with milk, and she began to gain strength. But when they tried to feed her what lions normally eat, raw meat, they could not get her to eat a bite. Amazingly, the little lion wanted only vegetables, grains, eggs, and milk. Of course, people said that Little Tyke couldn't live very long unless she ate meat. So they got a little blood and they put it in her milk. But she would not drink it. She was totally revolted by meat. Still, this very peaceful lion ended up living a full life, growing to full stature without ever eating animal flesh. And she was so gentle, just like a little docile ragdoll cat. So docile. That's the way this lion was. And they even trained her to pull a cart. And they made a movie of her. You can find the movie, Little Tyke, and see her. But a vegetarian lion, can you imagine that? It would be almost absurd to think of something like this could ever happen, but the Bible boldly promises that in the new earth, this will be the norm. Isaiah 65 verse 25 says, "The lion shall eat grass like the ox." I believe God's word when it says that lions will be vegetarians in paradise. I believe it with all my heart. But I also believe that this Bible truth says so much more to us about the nature of the coming eternal kingdom. And in this age of constant disaster and unending death, I think it's good for us to pause a moment and reflect on God's ultimate promise to His people for a little encouragement and rest from this dark and this sinful world we live in today. In Isaiah 65:17, God promises, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." Now let's first look at some of the physical attributes of paradise. Revelation says in Revelation 21 verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Right away, John the Revelator wants us to know that there are no more huge seas in paradise as there are today. Now, this does not mean that there will be no more water, for the Bible tells us that the river of life is located there. It means only that there is no more briny, undrinkable salt water that stings your eyes when you swim in it. There will be beautiful lakes of water, I'm sure, but they will not be the vast oceans that separate loved ones now. I believe it's going to be watered by lakes and ponds that are replenished by the river of life. It is going to look like a park every way you look. You know, the oceans are here for only one reason. They are the cesspool of the earth. It is to break down the refuse from humans and animals and restore it. That's what the oceans are for. It's a one large cesspool or septic tank. And it won't be like that. We won't need that in heaven. All right, as I've already mentioned, all the animals will be tame. Not wild, but tame. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat grass like the ox. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Isaiah 65, verse 25. Now here the Lord promises the animals will neither hurt nor destroy, and none will prey or eat others. In fact, one reason why I'm such a proponent of vegetarianism is not only because science supports it as the best health plan for the human body, but I also think it's a good idea for us to get used to the menu of heaven now. Of course, I'd be remiss not to mention the splendor of the New Jerusalem, God's new headquarters right here on earth. And it's described in Revelation 21 and 22. It is beautiful beyond our imagination. It has walls made of solid jasper with 12 foundations, each made from a different type of precious stone, such as sapphire and emerald. These gemstones will appear, I believe, like a beautiful rainbow. The streets of a city are made of gold on which children will play. And you can read about that in Zechariah 8, verse 5. I like how John describes this. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Revelation 21, verse 21. Now John must have been searching for the right words to describe what he saw here. You see, gold can be graded by different levels of purity. Evidently, what John saw was the purest form of gold, which looks virtually transparent when it is burnished. Now, when I hear the word city, it doesn't conjure up for me the best images. As some of you know how I feel about cities. I actually cannot tolerate cities. I don't want to live in a city. I don't think God ever intended for us to live in the cities like we have today. But God has a city. It's different than the cities like we have today. God's city, the New Jerusalem, is very different. This is a great city that the redeemed will return in after the millennium. The Bible says, return after the millennium, for the city comes down. It is a city unlike our cities today. You don't have to lock your doors there. You won't have to worry about violence or pollution of any kind. Won't that be nice? Almost like it was back when I was a child. We never locked our doors. We didn't have to. We felt totally secure with our windows open and our doors. Nothing but the screen door there. And you didn't have to lock it either. But some do wonder if there will be enough room in God's city for them. A city for all the saved of the earth? Well, perhaps it'll be crowded with so many redeemed throughout the ages that it'll be quite a squeeze. But this city is huge. It's as big as the state of Oregon. With about 375 miles on each side, there will be plenty of room for everyone there. Of course, there will be no more curse either. Thorns and thistles first appeared because of sin and symbolized the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. The curse that God struck the earth with, as told in Genesis, will be totally gone forever. Sin will never rise up again. Won't that be wonderful? Now, when you think about all the wonderful things on the new earth, it really gets a person excited. I can get really excited when I think about what God is preparing for me, for you. Before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus comforted his disciples with this promise. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven, so he can live with you forever. I'm thrilled with the promise that God is preparing a place for each one of us. It's wonderful. It reminds me of the first place that the Lord prepared for mankind, the Garden of Eden. Now, this beautiful home was planted by God himself for Adam and Eve to enjoy. Genesis 2 verse 8. I believe God will restore things as he meant for them to be before the fall. Before Adam and Eve sinned. It's going to be restored even better than that. This special garden will be like the central park of the New Jerusalem, for all of us to enjoy in a new sinless world. Can you imagine that? It's just a matter of time before this promise comes true, and I think we're getting closer to it every single day. If you watch prophecy, as you see what's happening day by day, you know that Jesus' coming is right at the door. We should all be looking forward to this wonderful pledge from God that He is coming back. He's going to take us home to be with Him. Sadly, many picture heaven as a wispy place where ethereal spirits sit around on clouds wearing halos and strumming golden harps. But this is not the picture that the Bible promises. Not to mention it would be rather boring. It's worth our effort to study what God says heaven will actually be like for those who will populate this new home. Okay, let's look at it. Now, there are other special promises we can look forward to in heaven. I want to share three special assurances that God has given you about your future home. Are you sick? Do you have an injury that never seems to heal? Is there a loved one in your life battling cancer or who has already lost the battle against some other terrible disease? The Bible says that someday they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Can you imagine that? Have you ever thought when you were a child that you'd like to fly like a bird? Have you ever gotten up on top of a shed or something and jumped off, waving your arms like you fly? You know how children fantasize. Well, someday, the Lord says He is going to give us wings, and we are going to mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run, He says also, and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Now, I look forward to a time when we will have eternal energy. Can you imagine that? Eternal energy. You could run and never get tired. More than that, John says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. I'm so looking forward to that. Just think, no more sickness. I won't have to preach any more funerals. And by the way, I thank the Lord we haven't had to have a funeral here for a few years in our church. I'm so grateful. God is so good. No more hospitals. No more tragedy or disappointments or trouble. There will be no more cemeteries. In some ways, it seems silly to even speculate about all the amazing things that we will enjoy with our new bodies. We can hardly imagine what God has promised for us. I think He has special upgrades in mind for everybody. Some who cannot sing now will someday be leading heaven's choirs. Those who have trouble walking now will be the fastest runner. Some who have trouble hearing now will be able to hear the faintest of sounds. The Bible says, then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb, the silent, will sing. Isaiah 35, verse 6. Every saved person will physically be whole in every single way. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. The lame will be able to run. Any of the physical defects you have in this life will be more than compensated for when you get there. And not only that, but we will be mentally made whole with minds and memories like your computers. Fact of the matter is, even better than your computer. You will be able to retain in your mind, in your memory, as much data as the Russian encyclopedia, which is tremendously huge. Now, what about our attitudes? Will there be any of the relationship problems that plague this old world? Let's see what the Apostle John says. He says that the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars will not be there. Revelation 21, verse 8. And then he adds this in verse 27. But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles. Every place we look, we see things that are defiling today. But it will not be that way there. My friends, there will be nothing evil in paradise. No sinister notions or treacherous backstabbing like we have here. Again, a lot of people have the impression that heaven could eventually become a boring place. I don't think so. Yet the Bible says at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will never run out of pleasurable things in heaven. Psalm 16:11. Now the Apostle Paul writes regarding heaven. He says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. That is wonderful. In other words, all of our imagining, all of our thoughts, we cannot conjure up the wonderful blessings that God has prepared for His children. I am so thankful. So many people have misconceptions that they will be transformed into little fat baby cherubs strumming on harps. I don't know if I would even want to be in a situation like that. I like doing things. I like doing things with my hands. I like studying. And I'm a man of action. I like getting into rolling up my sleeves and getting with things, making things, doing things. I even like mowing the lawn. But the Bible says, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. My elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah 65, verses 21 and 22. Now, we will also be able to study the entire cosmos, and we will never cease learning. The closer you look through a telescope or a microscope, when you look at what God made, you see more and more perfection. Just look at the beautiful scenes that the Hubble telescope sends back. Gorgeous beyond compare. And someday we're going to be able to wing our flight to those worlds. And through the eternal ages, we'll be looking at the awesome, creative genius of God. Our minds will never, never stop praising Him for the wonders that He has made and how He has saved us. And that is a wonderful thing. Contemplate in your mind every day what Jesus has done to save you. On a personal level, I'm looking forward to singing in heaven. I'm reluctant to sing sometimes here because I don't have a voice like George Beverly Shea. But in heaven, we will sing with the angels, but we will have so much to sing about. And we will have heavenly voices there. We will also get to visit with our loved ones. And I can just see us having many blessed reunions. You probably have loved ones that you long to see again. I so look forward to seeing my beloved mother and my father in heaven. I'm hoping to see them there with their new glorified bodies. People often ask me, if we have new bodies, will we recognize anyone without our wrinkles, without all the age in our faces and our bodies? Of course we will. I always respond, yes. Will our power of discernment be less there or more than it is here? It'll be more. It'll be even greater. Your saved grandmother will have a glorified body, but you will still know it is her, even though she'll look like she was 20 years old. And last time you saw her was maybe 80. We'll still have our experiences and memories to share with one another and to unite us in common bonds. And beyond that, we will have the angels and the patriarchs to talk with. You know, I am awed by our dear sister Lana and how she plays the organ and the piano. I'm really going to miss her playing and her dear husband Daniel when they leave here shortly to move to Texas. But you know what? In heaven, I am going to be playing even better than you, Lana. I'm going to be able to play probably many instruments. And so will you. Won't it be awesome then to speak with King David and hear what it was really like to stand before Goliath when he stood there? Did he tremble at all? I just wonder. Or how about asking Abraham what it was like when he heard God say to sacrifice his son? We're going to have a lot of questions in paradise, and they are going to be answered during the millennium. Heaven is going to be bigger and brighter than anyone can ever imagine. Everybody will have perfect health and vigor. Everybody will be good and loving. There will be no lack of trust. But none of these things are even the best thing that could happen in heaven. There's something even greater than all those things I've mentioned. One thing will stand out above all the others as our greatest privilege. And you know what that is? To be with Jesus. To be with Jesus. The Bible says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Revelation 21, verse 3. My friends, Jesus and His Father will make their homes with us. John says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple." Verse 22. God Himself is the temple, and we will come together to worship Him. We will hear the Word of God from His own lips. And if you think you have seen wonderful preachers here on this earth, you haven't seen anything till you can hear the man of God, the Son of God, preach a sermon. Have you ever wished you could have lived back when Jesus lived and heard Him preach? I do. I would love to be able to copy and mimic the preaching of Jesus. That would be so wonderful. To sit at His feet and learn of Him as Mary did, and then to be able to go out and tell others. What a wonderful blessing that would be. Boy, I tell you, in fact, you will be able to have quality, uninterrupted time with Jesus there. It might take a while for you to get your turn, but it will happen. That's worth the price of admission alone, don't you think? The Bible tells us in Zephaniah 3:17 that God will sing. Did you know that? Yes, it says that the Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will rejoice over you with singing. It will really be great to hear the angels sing. But then they will all silence their harps, and God will sing. Can you just imagine how that will thrill your soul to hear God Himself singing? Wow! I imagine His voice will echo throughout the whole universe. And when He sings, I imagine every knee will bow in all the inhabited worlds. And don't ever get the idea that those billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of worlds out there are not inhabited. I don't think any of them are inhabited in our galaxy, but beyond that, I think they are. Why would God create something like that and have nothing there? The Bible alludes to the fact that they are. How I long to look upon the face of my Heavenly Father. I wonder what it will be like. Paul tells us this will become a reality someday. He says, "For now we see through in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as also I am known." 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Now, you and I today, as I'm talking about the electronic age and electronic church, we think it's so much better to move from emails to video chatting with our friends. But nothing can compare with seeing God face to face. But there will be one flaw in heaven. There will be one flaw in heaven. You might ask, well, how could that be? Because heaven is going to be perfect. How could there be any flaws there? But there will be one flaw. But we will have a reminder of sin. You know what that is? In the hands of our Savior, you will see the scars. Some in heaven, perhaps those who lived during Old Testament times, might come to Christ and ask, what are those scars in your hands? Then Jesus will sit down and explain to them the plan of redemption. My friends, do you want to be assured of a place in the eternal kingdom? I certainly do. I want to be there. The Lord Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking right now at the door of your hearts. My heart. Just because we're in church doesn't mean that we are okay. We ought to be here. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. My friends, Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts right now knocking. He wants to come in. He's asking to come in. And you don't need to wait until the second coming of Christ in order to be with Jesus. You can be with him right now. Heaven is wherever Jesus is, even though we will someday have a special place prepared for us. We can begin enjoying a taste of heaven right now, in the present. That's wonderful. Friends, we're getting ready to travel to another world, and I think we should begin to learn about heavenly culture in preparation to be with Jesus and all the angels. Getting ready is being ready. That happens when we look at the scars in Jesus' hands and realize that He has paid a high price so that we can enjoy eternity with Him forever. Jesus wants you to be there. He paid a high price for you to be there. He has prepared a very special place for you. Will you accept God's free gift of salvation? Will you accept that? Will you really and truly lay down everything in your life for Jesus? That's what He's asking. My friends, there is a better day coming. The whole creation is moaning and groaning and sighing and pressed down with grief and distress. And to try to save this old world with its ecology and politics would be like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's going down. However, when Jesus comes, He is going to change it. And this creation is waiting with outstretched arms. When Jesus comes, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. I never heard the mountains sing, but I have heard the trees singing. And all the trees of the field, it says, shall clap their hands out there in the forest. Isaiah 55:12. That's the reason the psalmist says, I shall be satisfied when I awaken with God's likeness. That's Psalm 17, verse 15. And this dear great God who redeemed us is going to turn every hurt into a hallelujah, and every tear into a pearl, and every Calvary into a resurrection, and every sunset into a sunrise when Jesus comes. This is why we ought to be praying, looking, and longing for Jesus to come. Now, in closing, I want to share a few more thoughts on the wonderful blessings the redeemed can look forward to throughout eternity with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There, immortal minds will contemplate with never-failing delight the wonders of creative power and the mysteries of redeeming love. There will be no cruel, deceiving foe to tempt the forgetfulness of God. Every faculty will be developed, every capacity increased. The acquirement of knowledge will not weary the mind or exhaust the energies. There the grandest enterprises may be carried forward, the loftiest desires reached, the highest ambitions realized. And still there will arise new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, fresh objects to call forth the powers of mind, body, and soul. My friends, all the treasures of the universe will be open to the study of God's redeemed, not burdened by mortality. They will wing their flights to worlds afar, worlds that thrilled with sorrow at the spectacle of human woe and rang with songs of gladness at the tidings of a ransomed soul with unutterable delight, the children of earth enter into the joy and the wisdom of unfallen beings. They share the treasures of knowledge and understanding gained throughout ages upon ages in contemplation of God's handiwork. With undimmed vision, no glasses, throw them away. No glasses, with undimmed vision, we will gaze upon the glory of creation, the suns and the stars and the galaxies, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of God. Circling the throne of God. God's throne will be back on this earth. The New Jerusalem is going to come down. This God's throne is in the New Jerusalem. It's going to come down and settle upon this earth, the Bible says. And this will be the center of the universe. Upon all things, from the least to the greatest, the Creator's name will be written. And in all are the riches of His power and majesty displayed. And the earth made new, the redeemed will engage in the occupations and the pleasures that brought happiness to Adam and Eve in the beginning. The Eden life will be lived. The life in the garden and in the field. The Bible tells us that we shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. My grapevines at home I have to fence in, because the deer will come in and eat up my grapevines. The rabbits will come in and eat up my lettuce and my cabbage. I have to fence that in too. And I don't only have to put a fence around it, I have to put chicken wire around it on the outside of the fence, because the rabbits, when they're babies, will go through the wire and get in there and eat it up. We won't have that in heaven. We have planting, we'll have gardens, and we won't have to worry about some deer or a rabbit coming in and eating them up. Friends, we will not build houses there like we build now. We will not cut down trees to make lumber in order to build. Since there will be no rain, no death, no stormy weather, our houses will be built out of beautiful... Now try to imagine this, if you can. This is the kind of homes that Adam and Eve had. Walls of beautiful flowering shrubs, flowers, and living plants. The flooring will be living green with a beautiful starry sky for its roof. Now, when I build my home in heaven, in the new earth, I would like to have at least one wall in the home, beautiful roses. Gorgeous roses. They're going to be so much more beautiful than they are here on earth. And you may not understand this, but I'd even like to have maybe a part of one wall, jasmine, honeysuckle. Those of you who live in the country, you don't want any honeysuckle around, because it takes over everything. Strangles trees and everything else. But you know what? A honeysuckle in heaven is going to be beautiful. And what a smell it will have. The most beautiful perfume. And your houses will be just reeking with beautiful perfumey smell from the flowers and the shrubs. I look forward to Jesus coming. Praise the Lord for His great love and generosity in saving us and providing for us this wonderful future home. Don't you want to be there? I tell you, I certainly do. I don't want anything in the world to keep me out of heaven. And if Jesus says, "This is what I want you to do," I want to do it. I don't want anything. I don't want to do anything that Jesus tells me not to do, but I want to do everything He tells me to do. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so very grateful and thankful for the wonderful blessings that You have prepared for those that love You. Oh, if only our minds could comprehend, if only our words could form to tell of the wonderful things that You have prepared for us, but it's impossible this side of heaven. Oh Lord, will You give us the desires to be there? Will You create in our hearts the wonderful desire to be with Jesus and to love Him so much that we would rather die than to do anything that would dishonor Him? Lord, help us please to say, "Lord, here I am. I give You my all. I want to lay all on the altar for You. I don't want anything in this world to steal away my crown of life." And not only do I want this for myself, but I want to have the power that you've promised to share it with my friends and my neighbors and my family. I want to share it wherever I go. I want to lift up Jesus in His wonderful love wherever we go. And I want to share everything I can to help people to understand your great love and the great ransom, the great sacrifice that was paid for our redemption. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.